Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is November 22nd, 2017. Now, today I want to do a shout out to my wife. It's her birthday today. And if you missed me last weekend, I was in Yosemite National Park with my wife and another couple, and we had a great weekend. And so today is the day before Thanksgiving. So thanks for coming in. I'm interviewing Randall Jr. Slayton.
Hello.
And so thank you for coming in today. Tell me, how did you find this church?
Wow, how did I find this church?
Well, did you have a choice?
I was going to a different church with my sister and my family. Okay. And Brooke Fenwick was the worship leader there.
That was Light and Life.
That was Light and Life.
Okay.
And you were the pastor there for...
Yes, I was a senior pastor there for a long time. I think it was 7 weeks.
7 weeks, yes.
And I got fired.
They got fired. And then you got transferred to Marina.
Yes.
And you asked Brooke to come with you.
Right.
And
it's interesting because I asked Brooke to come for just 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I need you 6 weeks and that's it.
And he's been here ever since.
18 years later.
18 years later.
Yeah.
But Brooke came to lead worship here and Brooke asked my sister to work with him and my family started coming here.
Okay. And your sister was, I think she was 19 when she first came. She was on the worship to Melanie. Now, she doesn't go here anymore because she moved out to somewhere in Ventura.
That is correct.
About 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And so you've been part of this church ever since. So let's go back to your childhood. Let's figure out how functional or dysfunctional both of our lives are.
Right.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in, I guess technically East LA, Ball Heights, that area, California.
All right. So it's primarily a Hispanic area.
Yes.
Okay. So when you were born, you don't remember living anywhere else but East LA.
Correct.
Okay. So you went to Wilson High School?
Yeah, I went to Wilson High School for 9th through 12th grade.
That's a big high school. I think you guys were pretty good in football.
When I was going there, we were good for a few seasons, yeah.
Okay, for a few seasons. I know in the 70s, you guys were really good.
Yeah.
But that was forever.
That was before I was born. I don't know much about that.
So, good childhood?
I would say I had a good childhood. My childhood was good, but my childhood was also a little weird.
Okay, what made it weird?
I didn't have any friends.
Was that because of you or just the neighborhood you lived in?
I want to say a combination of both.
Okay.
From what I've learned over time, when we moved into the neighborhood, there was a lot of gang violence going on.
Okay.
So there weren't a lot of kids. And I didn't go to the local elementary and middle school. I went to a private Christian school called East LA Lion Life.
Right, right.
So I didn't have friends in the area from school.
Okay.
And there weren't a lot of other kids in the area because of the gang violence.
Right.
So most of the time I was at my house playing by myself inside my room or outside in the driveway.
Okay. Is that more so for safety reasons or more so your personality?
It could be personality.
Okay, personality. So it's not like your parents say, I want you to stay in the house, don't go out, don't even walk around the streets, it's too dangerous.
They didn't say that.
Okay. So you grew up going to East LA, the school, the private school, which, if you think of private school, it wasn't like this super elite bunch of people.
Yeah, it wasn't us with,
it was a private school for poor people to the point, because they had a lot of subsidized, a lot of donors that helped, because it was primarily, it was in East LA.
Yeah, it was in the middle of East LA.
Yeah, in the middle of East LA. So got out of high school, what was your big dream?
Oh, man. Okay, when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I saw the movie Top Gun.
Okay.
With Tom Cruise. And I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Fighter pilot, I wanted to be. For years, until I was in 9th grade of high school, at a class called Life Skills, and we had someone from the Navy come in.
Oh, that's cool.
And talk to us about his career in the Navy and how he went to Wilson.
Right.
And someone asked him a question about fighter pilots. He goes, okay, the two things you have to have.
Right.
Sorry, the three things you have to have to be a fighter pilot. One, you gotta be great in math. I'm like, okay, I'm not that good in math, but I can work on that. I can work on math and get it. He goes,
absolutely.
You got to have perfect vision, which I wasn't wearing glasses at the time, but I already knew I didn't have perfect vision.
Right.
And he says, and you can't have asthma because you got to be in such high altitudes that you got to be able to breathe without a problem. And I'm like, okay, well, that dream's done because...
Because you could have got your eyes fixed with surgery, but you can't get the asthma fixed.
Yeah, I've had asthma since I was in second grade. Okay. So that's a bummer. Like, no.
So all your dreams were just dashed and...
Yeah, crashing down. Just like an airplane crashing down. Just like Goose in the movie, ejecting, and the plane crashes. Those are my dreams.
They're making a sequel to that movie.
Yes, they are. And I think Tom Cruise is going to be a teacher.
I have no idea, but it's going to be interesting.
It's probably going to be bad.
I wonder if they'll do that volleyball scene. My wife likes the volleyball scene.
We'll see.
You know. So, okay. So, because I'm curious, because if you're listening to the podcast, Randall is our youth pastor here at the Marine Church. And so you've gone from, I want to be this fighter pilot. I wanted to have this exciting life, I would assume, in the military. And your dad served in the military. Mm-hmm. So give us step by step. After high school, was your relationship with God strong then, or was it just kind of on the shelf? When did this call to ministry happen?
I graduate from East LA Lion Life in 8th grade. There's 13 kids in my 8th grade class.
Right.
I start going to Wilson. There's 150 kids in my freshman class.
Okay.
So going from a school where everyone knew your name and everyone knew you because you'd gone there since kindergarten.
Just like the TV show Cheers.
Yeah.
The theme song.
Exactly.
Okay.
To going to Wilson where I knew maybe one other person. Right. And
that's some scary stuff.
It was a huge culture shock for me.
Right.
And it sent my life with Christ to the extreme back burner.
Right.
Now, morally, I still adhere to all the things that I was taught in my own life. But socially, I wasn't claiming my Christianity in any way, shape, or form.
Do you think you experienced some racism at Wilson High School?
Because
the primary race there is Hispanic.
While at Wilson, yes. But at Wilson, no. The first time I experienced racism was July of 2002.
Do you actually remember the month and the year?
Yes, because it was...
Okay, how old were you?
Oh, that's iffy.
In 2002.
I want to say I was like 14. I want to say I was like 14.
You were 14. Because Al Johnson, I just interviewed him last week, and I asked him almost the same type of question, but I asked him, when did you first discover you were black? Mm-hmm. And he said, I was 4 or 5 years old, and he was singing the James Brown song, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Mm-hmm. And his mother told him to shut up and don't sing that because we're going to get in trouble. And that he couldn't understand at that young age. So you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened?
I was going to the local... I was walking from Wilson to the local, like, burger place. Because I know it was July because it was summer school.
Right.
Because it was like noon when I was walking to this place.
Okay.
And I walk in and, okay, well, explicit word warning for people.
Okay.
If you don't want to hear it, just fast forward a minute.
Fast forward.
I'm walking into the place and this guy walks out. He looks at me and goes, hey, are you a nigger? And I looked at him.
Is this a Hispanic or a white guy?
He's a white guy.
I don't understand this. I really don't get it. So he just flat out said the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an N? And that has to be shocked. I'm 14 years old.
It was...
Was he an adult?
He was an adult.
I don't get it. He's a little smack talker.
So I was like 150% shocked.
Right.
And I said no. Because I was shocked and I was scared.
Right.
So I didn't know what he was going to do if I said yes.
Okay.
So he said, are you a nigger? I looked at him and I said, no. Scared out of my mind.
Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, you look like a nigger. And he walked away.
Okay, so I'm 14 years old. So he walks away and he's standing there.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? I mean, do you process? Did you talk to somebody about it? Did you go, hey, Dad, I was called the N-word?
I walked into to Troy's.
Okay.
I got my food, and that was it.
Okay.
Because my childhood, not having friends.
So you never even talked about this?
Never talked about it. I never talked about anything as a kid.
Okay.
Anything that happened to me.
So you internalize it.
Internalize everything.
And you never said it. So is this the first time you publicly shared this?
Probably.
No one listens to this. Don't worry about it.
So like, if my parents are listening, if my sister's listening, this is the first time they would hear about this happening to me.
Okay. So when you get home, did that change your whole outlook? Were you all of a sudden, I got to live a different way, I got to act a different way, or just...
No, because I just internalized it and, like, moved past it.
Okay.
It's like, I wasn't that big of a deal. Like, okay, call me the N-word, but he didn't beat me up. Okay. He didn't, like, do anything to me. You know, he just asked me this question. I was perfectly fine. I'm safe now.
Yeah.
Okay, move on.
Okay. So after this, because we were talking, we're going into how you discovered, would you walk with the Lord strong then, or just off the shelf?
It was on the shelf.
Okay. When did it become off the shelf?
I would say senior year of high school.
Okay, a few years late.
2 years later.
What happened there? Or just
I went nothing? Back to East LA Light and Life for something.
Okay.
Some event. I don't know what it was for. And I met some people there saw some people there that I had graduated from 8th grade with.
Right, okay.
One of them was Thomas Cortez.
And Cortez brothers.
The Cortez
brothers. Their dad's Frank.
Yeah, I know. Frank, Jerry.
That was their first
Frank's 7 weeks of the Jerry, past. Thomas, Andrew, and Desiree. Okay. Those good kids.
You were a good cluster of friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thomas told me about the youth group that they had at the church.
Right.
And he invited me. They were having a sleepover that weekend.
Okay.
So he invited me to the sleepover. And so I went to sleepover, and then I was a part of the youth group from there on.
And so did you have this aha moment with Christ, or just kind of slow it became stronger?
Slowly became stronger.
Okay. So I'm just noticing, when did you first start playing with the idea, I want to be in the ministry, I want to do ministry?
Well, to be 100% honest.
No, don't. Just 50% honest. 25% honest.
The first time I ever thought of being in the ministry, I was probably 8 years old, and I said to myself, wow, being a pastor seems easy. But they probably don't get paid a lot of money, so I don't want to do that.
Right.
But the first time...
Well, you're right on one of those.
I know that now. But when I started seriously thinking of being in ministry was Pastor Marissa was here.
Okay.
She was a youth pastor. I started coming.
So this is like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, like 5, 6 years ago.
Okay, 5 or 6 years ago. Okay.
And she asked me if I wanted to volunteer in the youth group first.
All
right. So I started volunteering. And the joy I felt being in the youth group, being with the kids, teaching them, mentoring them was something I never felt before.
Really?
Amount of joy I had never felt before.
Okay.
And she encouraged me to start praying and listening to God and seeing if this is a path that I wanted to follow. And
so she kind of mentored you in the ministry in a sense.
I would not be here.
Does she know that?
She does.
Okay.
I would not be here without Pastor Marissa.
Okay. So if I get irritated with you, I should get mad at her.
Yeah, you can call her.
Okay, so if it wasn't for Pastor Marissa mentoring you and really investing in you, you wouldn't be in the ministry.
Correct.
Okay. And so when did Pastor Marissa decide, okay, I'm going to hand this over to you, the ministry, or how did this work? Because you're now in charge of the youth ministry.
Pastor Marissa was a youth pastor, and she was an associate pastor that was in charge of the youth group, so she was our youth pastor. And she started going back to school to get her master's.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to myself and Daniel Morales, who was also a volunteer at the time. And she said, guys, I'm going to lessen my hours here at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Go from 40 hours a week to 30. Start going back to school, taking more classes.
Yeah.
and I need to step away as youth pastor.
Right.
And we're going to hand it off to you guys.
Now, did that get you nervous, or you got excited?
My first response in anything is to be nervous and cautious.
Okay.
So I was nervous, cautious, and overwhelmed because I didn't feel I was ready.
Okay.
That's a lot of work to run a youth group.
You know, it's just a lot of the dynamic. Being in the ministry, I don't think people get it. They look at me and they go, "Oh, you're preaching." They just see me 30 minutes preaching, and that's like that's a highlight of the, that's 30 minutes a highlight of my week.
Right.
I work 60 hours, so that's 65 and a half hours is hard work, you know, putting it all together. So I don't think that they understand the dynamics of working with children, kids, high schoolers, which are all over the place emotionally, and working with their parents. They're so busy as it is. And I know you get frustrated with them because they don't respond to emails and phone calls.
Hey, that's not like some of the parents listen to this, okay?
But, you know, it's true. I have to deal with it all the time. So, you're right. It's tough. It's hard. And I was a youth pastor for 10 years. Now, the youth are a lot different now than they were when I resigned 20 years ago this coming May. So, with social media and Facebook and stuff.
Even from when I was in youth group, the kids now, the things that they have to deal with, it's the amount of homework that the demands on their life are vastly different than when I was in high school.
Yeah.
There's so much more that they have to deal with now.
No, absolutely. And cyberbullying and all that stuff.
I tell them, you know, when I was in high school, we didn't have smartphones.
Right.
Phones itself were barely a thing. I had a prepaid phone when I was a senior in high school, and they have, you know, iPhones and Samsung Galaxies.
No,
completely different world.
A phone I had to flip it and then pull the antenna up, you know, and it just called. You're texting, you would have to hit the numbers doing letters.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so let me ask you this. The highlight of being the youth minister in the low light, what's the highlight of it?
The highlight is every year we go to camp.
And that's around February?
It's like January, February, and March.
Okay.
The reason it's the highlight is because our youth group is small.
Right.
You know, a very small youth group. So, and a lot of my students, they tell me that they don't run into a lot of other Christian teens at their schools.
Mm-hmm.
And more often, they're running into people who want to tear them down when it comes to Christianity. And going to camp allows them to see and interact and be with other kids who are Christians.
Right.
Other middle schoolers, other teenagers. And just be there and experience the love, generosity, and joy of Christ. And seeing my kids be a part of that is something special. Camp immediately, as tiring as it is, as stressful as it is getting there, it revitalizes me every year. Yeah,
because when I almost said retired from the youth ministry, going to camp was getting very old because I was 36, 37 years old. How old are you now?
I just turned 30.
Okay, 30.
A few months ago.
So you got 7 more years physically that you can handle that. Because I remember when they dogpiled me the last, I don't know, back in then, dogpiling was a big thing.
Yeah.
And when I was on the bottom of that with 20 kids, I was thinking, I am too old for this. I cannot, I'm laying down forever to get air back in my lungs. And so, okay, that's a highlight. What's a low light?
Low light, how frustrating it can be at times to plan events that don't work, or like be really excited for something, have the kids really excited for something, and then no one come.
Yeah, that happens every Sunday morning.
Yeah. For both of us.
You just going, seriously? So let alone being on time. Yeah. Okay, if you look back, if you look forward in the next 10 years of your life, you're 30 years old, so when you turn 40,
oh, God.
You turn 40, where would you like to be in your life? What would you like to see going on in your life in the next...
The next 10 years, I will, hopefully by the grace of God, be married.
Okay.
With at least one child, because... If I don't have kids by 40, there's going to be a serious conversation between me and God if I'm going to have kids.
You want to be a dad?
I want to be a dad.
Okay.
Hopefully married, hopefully have at least one kid.
That's cool, because I seldom talk to men that talk about that. Why would that be important to you, being a dad?
It hasn't been important to me until, like, a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you the story. I was at Target, and I think I was shopping for, like, a fan.
This is 2 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago. Okay. It's in the summer, and the fans were across from the boys section.
Okay.
Children boys. And I saw this dad and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid was holding up, the dad was holding up his shirt to the kid, like, trying to see if it would fit him.
Right.
And shirt had the Hulk's body on it.
The Hulk, okay.
Yeah. And the kid's like, Dad, Dad, what's on this shirt? And Dad's like, well, it's the Hulk. And he's like, well, if I wear this shirt, does that make me the Hulk? And Dad's like, of course it makes you the Hulk if you wear this shirt. And the kid got so excited, and then the dad got excited because the kid was excited.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where I was like, wow. I want that moment.
Right.
I want to be a dad.
Right.
And not just a boy, like, I want to have a girl, but it's just...
But it's interesting how that happened 3 or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still has an impact on your lives to kind of change. So hopefully in 10 years...
Hopefully in 10 years I'm married with some kids.
Married with some kids, okay. Let's say a 4 or 5 year old.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, a 4 or 5 year old, maybe an infant. Okay, where would you like to be work-wise?
I would like to be a... youth pastor.
Okay, even down 10 years down the line.
Yes.
Like my, Doug Rank?
Yes. Let me tell everyone here.
Okay.
Right now, my goal for my life is to be a full-time youth pastor.
Okay.
I do not want to be a senior pastor.
Why?
No ifs, ands, or buts. I do not want to be a senior pastor.
See, that shows you have some brains. Because you don't want to be... Senior pastor, it's just not worth it. It's hard. But anyway, so do you want to, 10 years down the line, you could see yourself still being a full-time youth pastor, being married, and having some kids?
Of course, I have other responsibilities for the church, but
yeah.
Youth group would be a pivotal part of my career goal.
Okay. And so let me ask you this question. And you have no idea what this is coming. Mm-hmm. Let's say your boy comes to you and has the same... thing that happened to you when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't internalize it. He just flat out tells you, Dad, I was called the N-word by this white guy at a store. And I was afraid. I didn't say. I said, I'm not, because I didn't know where he was going with it. And so he left. What advice would you give him? It's a podcast.
Right. That's called a pregnant pause. Trust me.
That's good. It's good. You're thinking.
Yeah. What I would do is probably start tearing up, which is what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
But the advice I would give him would be...
Why are you tearing up?
Because I can imagine it.
You don't have to imagine it. You know it.
No, but I can imagine my son.
Oh, okay.
I can imagine my son coming to me and saying that to me. And
right.
Having all the feelings that I didn't deal with then
right.
come up,
right.
I would tell him to...
Well, you're no joke, because you're actually tearing up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would tell him to never be afraid to tell anyone who he is.
Okay. So in a sense, you're encouraging your son to be who he is, because you've already internalized yourself, and you've never been who you were at 14. Yeah. Do you think 10 years down the line, the racism in America will change? Be different for your son?
Different?
I don't know.
Yes. I don't know if it'll be better or worse.
Okay.
I do think it'll be different.
Because I'm afraid. It's just amazing to me that we're in 2017. And you watch the news. It's like watching the news from the early 60s, the late 60s.
You know? I cried on election night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Because I live in California. I lived in California my whole life.
Right.
I cried on election night because I saw a country who didn't accept me.
Okay.
If you... Now, I rarely talk about my politics, so I'm going to do that now.
I've never heard you talk about your politics.
I never talk about it with anyone because I don't want my... As a pastor, I don't want my ideals to be influential on others. I encourage people to come with their own
Which ideas. Makes complete sense.
Especially when it comes to the youth group.
Right.
But just hearing everything at the time that Trump had been saying and the supporters of Trump had been saying and seeing all these people vote for him.
Right.
I saw a country that wasn't accepting of who I was.
As a black person.
As a black person.
Okay.
As a minority.
Right.
And it was so heartbreaking. Not hurtful. I never watch the nightly election, like, state, whatever, forecast. Yeah. And as states turn more and more red, I cried more and more.
Okay.
And hurt more and more.
Right. No, it's very interesting because we watched the elections too, and we were quite surprised. And I remember Jennifer going, do you think Donald Trump's going to win? You know, because all the polls said they wasn't. And I go, it looks like he is. And we were both surprised. Mm-hmm. But for you, see, for a white person, it's like, this guy's an idiot. I shouldn't say it that way because I'm very quiet about my political views.
Right.
I keep forgetting because we're stuck in a room together, like having a private conversation. Right. We forget it's a podcast. Forget that
there's a giant silver microphone between us.
But it's but for you, what you're talking about is it's more. You live in more fear since November.
I wouldn't say I live in more fear. I would say that I'm more aware.
Okay.
I live in California.
Right.
I thought California was like a sample for the whole country.
Right. Oh no.
Exactly. I didn't know.
Yeah, because you were saying in the pre-interview that there's a naiveness about you.
Yeah, there's just this. My whole life I've had my head in the clouds. Yeah. Been naive. I haven't been aware of things.
Right.
And like things just hit me. From time to time, like a ton of bricks.
Right.
And I'm just like, whoa, how did I not?
No, California is very.
How did I just not know? Yeah.
No, they call it the, like New York and California are probably more safe.
Yeah, we're diverse and accepting diversity. To a degree. Right. And it's just. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's leave it at that.
So, while we wind the podcast down, what advice would you give somebody? And I always ask people this advice where maybe they're living in a, you know, today and they're looking at the political system and what's going on and we're just finishing, we're still in the first term of President Donald Trump, so mm-hmm. We got 3 more years. I know I saw on the news there's this big impeachment thing going on, trying to impeach him, but I don't know if that would happen. So what advice would you give someone that's going, oh my goodness, I'm very scared of a future. My relationship with God is like minimal right now because somehow this world, there's so much tension in this world, so much segregation in this world. Even within the church, there's segregation within the church. So as a black person, what advice would you give somebody that's, as another black person that's going, I'm struggling with this. I'm really struggling with this. Like yourself. Almost giving yourself advice. Pause.
Bring a pause.
We're in a podcast.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Okay.
I don't know if I would have a satisfaction.
What would you like to see in the future?
From this nation?
Yeah.
Here we go, guys. Randall Slate's in for the next presidency. I would like to see a country that heals from these wounds that we have.
Okay.
And not one where everyone is like-minded and just agrees on everything, right, but one that we could have conversations,
right,
openly that don't turn into debates.
Right.
Because that's one thing that we can't have right now. Right. We can't have open conversations with people where we're actively listening to right, each other right, and at least attempting to understand one another's point of view.
Correct.
Anything that you say instantly turns into a debate.
Right.
Not anything that Kevin says. Anything that someone says instantly turns into a debate, and a person on the other side has their facts,
right,
and both sides have their facts, and they're just right, yelling facts at each other,
right,
and no one's listening, and there's no compassion, there's no caring, there's no love.
There's no friendship.
There's no friendship. No. It's just, my side has to win. No, right, my side has to win. Right. Well, my side is better.
Yeah.
No, my side is better. And no one's going to win.
Yeah.
We're all going to lose if that's how we proceed.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being part of the podcast. Now, your youth group meets at when?
My youth group meets at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
In the office complex.
In the office complex.
And then you're part of the 10 o'clock service. So yep, if you're listening to the podcast and you see Randall Hounds with the Communion at Times, you preached over a month ago. Did you get good vibes on that?
I got really good. I was very nervous, but I'm always nervous about my sermons.
Okay.
But I got really good positive feedback from people.
Right. And I actually sat through two of them.
Yes, he did.
So
the first one, now the first, this is how nervous I was. The first sermon he sat through, he cleared his throat. And I did? Yeah. I don't know if he was clearing his throat because I had to clear his throat, or he was clearing his throat because I was being too repetitive in my sermon.
Maybe I was, no, because Ruben, I know, it was even in staff a month ago, Brooke even said you were not repetitive. You did not repeat yourself.
Okay. So, well, like I said, he cleared his throat, and I went the next day and changed several parts of the sermon
I don't even remember.
I was so paranoid that his clearing of his throat meant something.
And I'm sitting like in the front row too, like right in front of you,
3 feet away from me.
I'm sorry, but you've always wanted me to sit during your sermon.
Yeah.
So maybe not next time. Huh?
Maybe you can sit in the balcony next time.
In the balcony, cover my face.
Yeah.
Never clear my throat.
Yeah, just tell me you're not gonna be here, and then just hide in the balcony.
That's funny. So anyway, hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. Join us at Saturday at 6 o'clock during our service, or Sunday at 10 a.m. And remember, have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I would say this, if your family is dysfunctional and crazy, just remember, just try to do your best. And
pray
the best. It's only one day a year. Then you won't have to worry about some Christians. So
remember this, people. Remember this. We are Christians. We have the love of Christ inside of us, the compassion of Christ, and the generosity of Christ. If you deal with your family members who are difficult, just remember that Christ loves them.
Yes.
Just like he loves you.
So are you speaking from experience?
Oh, tomorrow is going to be different. Tomorrow's going to be difficult for me.
Okay. Okay. God bless you. And remember, every day is a gift from God. God bless, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You did a good job.
Thank you.